Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. On Tuesday, August 6th, at 5:30 p.m. at the Liberty Theater, the Astoria Public Library renovation will be discussed with a meeting which is vital to everyone who lives in this region. The Astoria Public Library is a department of the City of Astoria, providing tax-supported services to all residents living within the city boundaries and also those who don't live within the city boundaries as well. The library holds over 50,000 print and audiovisual materials. It provides access to downloadable ebooks and other online resources, and it offers programs for all ages. Guided by the mission statement, explore ideas, engage minds, excite imagination, the Astoria Public Library is an active and responsive part of the community. The library needs renovation, though, and we are going to find out today from my guests what this might look like and how you, as members of this listening audience and the community and region, can be involved. Today in the studio, I have Brett Estes. Brett is the community development director. He is also the assistant city manager for the City of Astoria. Hi, Brett.
Good morning.
I also have Jane Tucker. She is the library director for the Astoria Public Library. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Donna.
And on the phone today, we have Ruth Metz of Ruth Metz Associates. She is a consultant who has been working with the library board and the city. Ruth, are you there?
I'm here, Donna.
Excellent, Ruth. Well, before we begin talking about the library and this public meeting coming up, let's just find out a little bit about our guests. Brett, could you tell us a teeny bit about yourself?
Sure. Again, my name is Brett Estes, and I am the Community Development Director and Assistant City Manager for the City of Astoria. I've been here in Astoria for 6 years now, and the past year as kind of the dual title of Community Development Director and Assistant City Manager. And I'm working with the library, with Jane and Ruth, on this planning process for the renovation of the library, and it's very exciting to be able to work with another department and be able to work with a different set of folks within the city. It's very exciting, and looking forward to these next few months.
And Brett, I think the City of Astoria has won your heart, and also your wife Tiffany's as well, because she's very engaged in the Downtown Association and so many things. So really, you're enmeshed now in the fabric of the community, I think, right?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay. And Jane Tucker, please tell us about yourself.
Well, I got here about close to 20 years ago now, and I've been the library director here for 14 years. I've been a librarian all my life. I started out when I was 16 on my hometown bookmobile, so I've been doing this for a very long time. The library that we're in has served its city very well, but it is 46 years old, and it's time for it to be a modern library, to be able to meet the needs of 21st century users. So that's what we're doing here today, is seeing what the future can hold for that library.
That's exciting. And I know you love books, and we talked a little bit earlier about the fact that as everyone is going digital, libraries become ever more important, ever more important. And Ruth, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Don. I will. I'm Ruth Metz, and I am a library consultant. I've been a library practitioner for over 30 years and had my own consulting firm for about a decade. I've worked on library buildings for all of my career. My consulting specialty is planning libraries, not only the bricks and mortar, but also organizational models and service models. And one of the things that I'm looking at as we do this building program, needs assessment and building program for Astoria, is what are some service models that we can integrate into the library operation to make the library ever even better than it is now.
Excellent. And I think to that end, let's talk first about the history of the library. Could you address that, please, Jane?
Well, as I said, it is the second oldest library in the state of Oregon. We're only beat out by Multnomah County. And the building that we're in at 450 10th Street is the first permanent home of that library. It bounced around quite a bit. It spent quite a few years over at the Heritage Museum. So it had a pretty long run there from about 1905 to 1938. But until it got this location on 10th Street, it bounced around a lot.
So it was built in 19, I think you said, 67.
Yes, it opened in 67. So we've got a lot of people going through. We estimate, we do an educated estimate of about 82,000 people came through the doors in this past year. We circulated 61,652 items out of there this year. And to give it a sense of how it has grown, in 2007, when we took that measure, we only circulated 38,493 items. So we have a 60% increase in circulation alone, in addition to everything else we do. So.
That's actually, I think some people might be surprised by that, because as people say, the book is going away and everything, and you know, but now people are using the services more than ever.
More than ever, and all the services, the programs, the computers, all of the collections. Another statistic is DVDs circulating. We circulated 987 in 2007. And in this fiscal year that just ended, 2012-2013, we circulated 8,399 DVDs. That's an increase of 751%. In those 7 years or 6 years. So
those are staggering.
So yeah, lots and lots going on at the library, and people coming for a lot of different reasons to use it.
And the reason that the library no longer serves the needs of the public now, well, I think it was built in 1967 with funds from the Astor family, is that correct?
The Astor family started with some of the funding, and then a lot of money was raised locally and through the Legion. So it was a combination of forces that brought it to have a permanent home of its own.
And then when did you decide to call in Ruth Metz Associates, and you said, we must renovate this library?
Well, Brett can speak to the process a little bit, because it's been a long process for me.
So I would say that this issue started to be discussed when Jane was working on, and the library board was working on, their strategic plan a little over a year ago, and really started thinking bigger about where we headed in the future. And the library board came to the conclusion that they felt we needed to investigate a renovation of the library, figure out how can we make this building more usable and fit our needs. And so that idea was brought forward to the city council, and the city council became very supportive of it, made it one of their goals for this year. And so at that point, we worked with Ruth to develop a scope of work and worked with her team to move forward. And we got the contract signed a couple months ago, and Ruth has hit the ground running about a month ago.
And Ruth, when you first saw the Astoria Public Library, what did you think?
Well, I thought that it was a building, you know, that showed great signs of wear. The first thing that impressed me, the very first impression I had in the Astoria Public Library, was just the amount of activity going with people kind of all over each other, you know, that it was a spatial issue. So there was a lot of activity and just not enough space. The acoustics were an issue, which is, I think, is also a function of space. So it looked like a busy, exciting place, but the staff was having to do a lot of workarounds related to the condition of a building whose systems have come to a time when they need to be renovated. And it's a good building, but the systems need to be remodeled so that the library can be a 21st century library.
Yeah, and I think Jane and Brett told me that the good news is that the structure, the bones of the building are good.
Exactly. That's what we think, too.
And so you have been in the process of creating a needs assessment, meaning how does the library function better for patrons? How do we bring in new users and also really work in better ways with the current users?
Yes, Darna, our product will be what we call a building program for the library, and a cost estimate. So the building program is going to be a detailed description of what actually is occurring in that library. So it's about the functionality, the services, the programs, and what we would be integrating is what are the best technologies, what are the best practices in public libraries today that could be incorporated into the renovation of the physical plant so that the two work really nicely together and are a much more effective service delivery model for historians.
And what are cutting-edge libraries like today? Can you give us a couple of examples of libraries that are working really well?
You mean names of libraries, or you just mean what sorts of things are they doing?
Either or both.
Yeah. There are some kind of very interesting models out there, and they're becoming quite ubiquitous. What we are finding with people, and when we talk to people and do needs assessments, that's the needs assessment essentially what gets us to the building program, because we talk to the community. And that's why this meeting coming up is so important, is that we are talking to the community about their vision for the library, about what services they like, what services they've seen elsewhere that they like, that they think are important in their library. And the sorts of things that we're seeing, of course, is people really want a space in the community that is the library, that is a place for the mind. Those are my words, but essentially what people are saying is that they have all sorts of different reasons to be in the library, from reading and studying to tutoring somebody in reading or collaborating. I'm a student in high school, and I need to work on a team project with team members, and I need a place to do that. Writers, you know, people want, interestingly, the thought a few years ago was that, you know, libraries would become a thing of the past because of the internet. But in fact, what's happened nationally in libraries that are trying to keep up with things is that they're becoming even more important in the community. So people are looking for jobs. These days, when you apply for a job, you're almost always doing it online now. The library has, for the last 20 years and will continue to be, I believe, this bridge to the digital divide, the bridge between the haves and the have-nots. There are still a lot of people in Astoria and in most communities that don't have a computer at home or that don't have a handheld computer. And those people can come to the library and not only access these things, but get help from knowledgeable staff, not only in using the equipment, but also in navigating what has become just a total overload of information. So it's fabulous that we all have access to the internet, but what it's done is it's inundated us with information, and we all just have so much time. So one of the wonders of the library is you go to the library or you call the library or you text the library and you get help from somebody immediately who knows how to navigate the information.
Yes, vital.
Absolutely.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today we're talking about an upcoming public meeting, Tuesday, August 6th at 5:30 at the Liberty Theater. The Astoria Public Library will be discussed, and this is a public meeting, a preliminary discussion of a renovation study, which is taking place now. And Ruth Metz Associates is a consultant who will be there, and she will be presenting findings at this public meeting, and this will be an opportunity for the public to give feedback. Brett Estes is my guest today. He is the Community Development Director and Assistant City Manager of Astoria. We also have in the studio Jane Tucker. She is the Library Director of the Astoria Public Library. And on the phone, we have Ruth Metz, who is the consultant. And we're talking about how we bring the Astoria Public Library into the 21st century as a 21st century library. And Jane, I want to address something that you talked about earlier before we went on the air, actually, about public meeting spaces and flexibility. Could you talk about that a little bit? One of the most important aspects of renovating this library is to gain flexibility in use. And one of the things that we've seen, Brett and city manager and city councilors, library board have toured about 12 different libraries now to get ideas. One of the things that we've seen for meeting space is they'll take and put glass doors on one side of the meeting space that can fold back. So that meeting space, if it's not being used for a meeting, can then be part of the library space. So if you think about that, that is just one innovation that is just fabulous, and it leaves so much flexibility in the room. Frequently, too, we'll see that the meeting room has been made so that it can be large. Albany's is an example. It can be one large meeting room. It can be two biggish meeting rooms. It can be four meeting rooms. They can just keep dividing it into numerous kinds of space. So we're really looking at that kind of innovation for our remodel that will help us will help staff and public be able to use it more effectively.
Right, because you were saying that since it was built in the 60s, it was set up for our libraries at that time, and that isn't how things are functioning in today's world.
Right. It is not functioning very well. It is electronically maximized. We can't add any electronic capacity to it. There are only three outlets in that great space that is the big adult space. There are only three outlets. My office has one outlet, and we all know how much equipment we have these days. So
true. And I think we didn't really talk too much about children's programs. I always think about a library, which was a library. The library in my small town was essential to me as I was growing up. That was my home away from home. And for children, it's vital that we have these children's programs continuing and expanding on them.
And it's absolutely vital. It's a beautiful word for it. We've seen the building program. Brett and I got to see the building program from 1965 for the building that we're in. And they define children as ages kindergarten through high school. What we've learned in that time is that early childhood literacy, birth to five, is the foundational time of life. It is the most important time for learning. You create the foundation for being able to read well, to succeed in school, is formed there between birth and five. And that's one thing that the public library does extraordinarily well. Our building doesn't do it so well because that particular age group has never had an accommodation built in for them. And our children's space is so small that if you put one family into the children's space, you have pretty much filled it up. I can give you an example of when I started in 99 and I hired Patty Skinner in 2000, we started summer reading. We had 11 children in summer reading. And we now reach numbers that are in 300 or 400. Depending on the year. When we started, there were no toddler programs, preschool programs, infant programs. So we started with preschool because we had the biggest number of materials to support that. And we had to work really, really hard. We got one kid, and then one kid brought in two other kids and built up that way. And now Mrs. Skinner will have 45 to 60 registrations in every September.
That's wonderful. And Brett, do we have any money?
So at this point in time, we have some seed money, and it comes in the form of what's called the Logan Memorial Trust. And this is money that was given by a former mayor of Astoria for a library. And at this point, we don't know how much this whole project will cost. Ruth and her team will be developing a cost estimate based upon their building program. And she will also be working with the library board to brainstorm ways to be able to fundraise through grants, local fundraising campaigns, etc.
We do have some money,
right,
though. That's the good news.
We do have some under $1 million.
Okay, and the structure is sound, and it's in a walkable location right in downtown Astoria. We obviously know the need is there. And so the public is now, you have been doing a lot of background research, and Ruth has been working on it. So now it's the time for the public to come and be involved. And Ruth, when you come to this stage, then you've looked at it, and you have taken out your pen and paper or your digital programs that you're working with. And now what's going to happen on Tuesday, August 6th? And there will be some other opportunities, too, but let's focus on this upcoming meeting here.
Well, first of all, I can say to your listeners, it is going to be fun. There are two parts. I will be presenting my preliminary needs assessment findings. So it's not in the final form, because we are still interested in all of our future meetings at continuing to hear from people and honing what we have. But I will have done I'll have a slide program that goes over the preliminary findings from the needs assessment. And then my associate, Kathy Page, and Lucian Kress, who's an IT guy. Kathy Page is a library building expert. Lucian is a library technology expert. And the two of them have a slide program that they're going to customize for Astoria that takes these ideas that we've been hearing from the public and best practices that we've seen out there in library land, and put those together to show the people who attend this meeting. So it's going to be kind of a jam session to spark ideas, you know, to get people thinking about what might be possible here and what's our vision. What's our vision and what are our service priorities? We won't be able to do everything in the library, but this whole process is about engaging the community and hearing what they have to say about their priorities and just getting people excited about the library, which I've found they already are. There's a lot of excitement in Astoria about this possibility, and that excites me a great deal.
Yeah, a library can be a real community center. I mean, that's where, if I want to know what's going on in the community. And Brett, would you like to?
Sure. And what I want to be able to clarify, we get a lot of questions about, will this project that we're taking on right now include architectural drawings? And just to clarify that we won't have architectural plans coming out of this. The building program that Ruth was talking about is going to be a written document which talks about what needs to be built into the future design, but she'll also be having, and her team will be putting together maybe a diagram that talks about adjacencies in terms of what uses need to be next to one another. One of the things that we've asked her team to look at as well is look at how those uses can potentially fit in the current space, and then determine, do we need additional space? And then make some recommendations about how do we accomplish that. The good thing is we have some options here. We do have a basement in the building. We have a parking lot that we could move out to. The downside is you would probably need to take away parking spaces. And then there's also been discussion over the years about the Waldorf building space. So those are some of the things that we may take a look at. The other thing that Ruth and her team will be looking at is also, how do we have a library that can be sustainable in the future with the way governmental budgets are going right now? We may not have the ability to have additional staff coming on board, and how do we maximize those efficiencies?
So what's really important is that you all need to hear from the public right now, and that's why this meeting on Tuesday, August 6th at the Liberty Theater at 5:30 is so important. So the presentation is going to be taking place between 5:30 and 7:30. Doors will open at 5, and there will be this group discussion going on and the presentation. Your chance to weigh in on what you would like to see happening at the Astoria Public Library. And then after that, the presentation, there's going to be a refreshments and an opportunity to speak in more depth to the members of the consulting team in the McTavish Room. And Brett, if people can't make obviously, if you're listening and you care about the Astoria Public Library and you'd like to weigh in, you can call Jane Tucker or stop by the library and talk with Jane Tucker. You can get in touch with Brett Estes at the City of Astoria. And if and so obviously we want to encourage as many people as possible to come to the Liberty on Tuesday night. If people somehow are out of town or they can't make it, what other opportunities will there be, Brett?
So first of all, the Astoria Library webpage has information about the renovation project. There's a link at the top that says renovation. You can go there to get information. Become a friend of the Astoria Public Library on Facebook. Lots of information is being put out by Facebook. Also, we're going to have a booth at the Astoria Sunday Market on August the 18th. And then also, there will be representatives at the River People's Farmers Market on Thursday, and that's Thursday the 29th.
Okay, perfect. So there are ample opportunities to, for the public to weigh in. So we only have a couple of minutes left. And Ruth, let me give you a chance here. What would you, any last thought you have for the listening audience today?
Well, I was really impressed at the meeting on the 10th. We had people from the community, and I was impressed at the vision that people have for the Astoria Library, which is, you know, that the library is a transformational place. It's a place where people transform their lives. It's a place for every age group, womb to tomb. And it's a place that people in that community want to inspire learning in the community. So I'm excited about it. I'm just so thrilled to even be a part of this process. And I feel like I'm coming into it at a great time because it seems to me it's at the tipping point, you know, of really going forward. These things don't happen overnight. There's been a lot of work done leading up to this, but I think we're at a really pivotal point, a point where the community input really matters. And I do believe, from what I've heard in the community, I've had people say to me, I've asked, you know, can this be done? Because it's going to take community financial support. And I've been told, you know, if we want to do something in Astoria, we get it done. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case.
Astoria and Sub-Sisu. Thank you so much, Ruth, for being with us today by phone. And I look forward to meeting you on Tuesday, August 6th at the Liberty Theater. And Brett, we just have another like 30 seconds or so for you. What would you like to say?
So again, if you cannot participate that evening on the 6th, please stop by the library, talk with the library staff, go to the website, visit us at the Sunday market on the 18th of August or at the River People's Farmers Market on the 29th.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Brett. And you can reach Brett at the City of Astoria. Jane Tucker?
Well, Ed, just bring us the concepts you have. When we were visiting libraries, sometimes we'd see some fantastic stuff. Well, maybe we don't have that kind of resource, but conceptually, we are looking for the concepts that you want in your new library. So bring your ideas, bring them on. We're ready for them.
And ask your children, too, mm-hmm. because they are just fountains of ideas. Absolutely.
Yes, they are.
I love her term, womb to tomb. it's yeah. true. The library is really, I think it's the heart of the city.
Yeah.
The heart right there. So, and I'd love us to be open all the time. Well, not 24/7. It's okay. You all have to have a break. Anyway, thank you so much for being here today, Brett and Jane and Ruth. Thank you so much for that. So again, Tuesday, August 6th, 5:30, Liberty Theater. Doors open at 5, and you definitely want to be part of this discussion about renovating the Astoria Public Library. Well, I want to thank you all for listening to Talk of Our Towns and extend my gratitude to Terry Wilson. He is our engineer extraordinaire, and also recognize local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those things that are working in your life that are good. Expand on that and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.